On this episode of the Big Stick Golf Podcast, we recap old man Stuart Cink's big win at the Heritage down there at Hilton Head. This is the second win of the year for him. Did anybody know that? I didn't know that either. He won the Safeway Open back in September. So multiple time winner of the PGA Tour this year, Stuart Cink. So we're going to recap all that. Congrats to him. We're also going to get you ready for this week's Zurich Classic. This is a team tournament this week, so that's going to be a little bit fun. We're going to get you ready for that. Before we get going, be sure to like, subscribe, all that good stuff on all the social handles at Big Stick Golf Official. We really appreciate it. As well as follow our friends at Birdie Buffers. You can find them at birdiebuffers.com. Go to their store, get their cleaning kit, use the promo code BigStick20 for 20% off of their cleaning kit. Get those things spick and span. That's it for me, though. Here's the podcast.
The return to glory.
I mean, any tour event's a big deal to win, but to win a major is obviously another level.
There it is! Can you believe it? Nick Faldo!
So much easier than putting. I should just try to get the ball in one shot every time.
Welcome to the Big Stick Golf Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome into the Big Stick Golf Podcast. I am John Guest, joined as always by C Money Carlton Smith. We are coming fresh off of a it was an interesting bit of a fun tournament there down in Hilton Head, down there at the Heritage, and old Stuart Cink, 47-year-old Stuart Cink, got his second win of the year, which is pretty surprising. But yeah, man, C, give me your thoughts. What I don't know. I guess the best thing to ask is, after those pair of 63s to start off the tournament, did you expect Cink to kind of close that out with as little drama as there ended up being?
I mean, I guess, yeah. Like, I didn't see Stuart Cink shooting a 63-63, that's for damn sure, and setting scoring records at this tournament. I think the second round, you know, at the cut, scoring record, and then the 54 hole. But yeah, like, I mean, whatever makes Stuart Cink good, you couldn't tell me. I just think he's a really good golfer.
Yeah.
So it's really eerily surprising to me. And this is his second win this year too. So He's the only two-time guy other than Bryson in this tour season. But holy hell, man. That's one hell way to do it.
Right before we started, I was informed that he won the 2020 Safeway Open, which was in September, technically the first tournament of the season. I guess it was maybe a couple weeks after the tour championship, and then it ended up being the week before the 2020 US Open, in which Bryson won. But yeah, I had no idea that Cink had already won this year. But man, if you think about it, he's one of those veterans at this point. You know, he's 47, but he has had a really, really solid career. Major winner, won like the 2008 or 9 British Open. You know,
is that the Tom Watson one?
It might have been. That might be why I tried to block it out of my memory, because
it was like Tom and Phil. Maybe it wasn't Phil.
I can't remember. I remember that Tom Watson. What did he make triple bogey on the last?
It was like Henrik Stenson or something like that.
Yeah, it was somebody. Man, it was almost like if I was ever gonna win a British Open or any tournament for that matter, and it happened in that fashion, where like, damn, you're so elated that you just won a major, but then the way that it came was one of the legends was having like a career, you know.
Oh, damn, it was, he won in a playoff against Tom Watson.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood was the name I was thinking about. He finished T3. Like, he didn't make it into the
playoff. Oh, okay. Man,
but
so
either way, man,
Cink had to beat Tom Watson in a playoff. Oh, that's Jesus. Tough, man.
That's right. Tom Watson shot an opening round 65.
Yeah, he made like double on 18 or something. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. Like, he had it in the bag, and he kind of choked it away. I can't remember if it was the very last hole. I know you started. That was like you started talking about that. Like, that's you know, I forgot that was the British Open that he won. He beat Tom Watson on that unfortunate last hole after that unfortunate last hole, but. You know, you at this point in his career, you're never going to be sorry about that. But yeah, man, I mean, they showed you were looking at him, you wouldn't like, or even looking at his swing or whatever it may be, you wouldn't even think that he was even a, maybe even a pro, because he's got such a, he's got a very unique swing. It doesn't look very efficient, but it is.
He looks like a math teacher, but yeah, he's like 6'4".
Maybe he's got maybe the gnarliest tan line I've ever seen around his head. He's got a bald head and is pretty much always in the sun wearing a hat. So
that thing's scaring off all intelligent life outside of this earth. That's for sure.
It almost looks like an ice, like he's got like vanilla ice cream coming out of his head, because he's got like the tan part is the cone, and then he's got the vanilla. The
best part
on
is
top.
His kid's matches, because his kid has this terrible one right at his forehead. But I mean, hell, he's put the boy on the bag, and the boy has got him 2 dubs this year.
Yeah, man, they had a great thing going. That was one of the things I enjoyed, because the tournament was, for the most part, it was out of reach. It got a little interesting yesterday, but I think, who was it? Like Maverick McNeely or somebody was making a bit of a charge. The final round, he played with Morikawa, so that was one of the possibilities. Like, I remember looking at the odds going into the final before the final round started, and I think it's pretty telling when a guy like Stuart Sink is like -250 going into the Sunday round, how much of an advantage he's got. But that's where we're at. But that was one of the things I enjoyed, was the kind of interaction between him and his kid. I don't remember catching his kid's name. I may not have been paying close enough attention, but he seemed real cool. He had his whole family out there by the time, Sunday rolled around. That was probably great to, you got a bit of a padded lead, and you can be like, hey guys, you should fly in for the final round, and we'll just walk around this beautiful marsh landscape and watch me make $1 million. Like, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, man, good stuff from Stuart Sink. That was not much else to say, really. Like, it was just a really solid.
That's a huge win. Like, I know he's won a major before, but at least the Safeway felt like a, I hate to say,
dude, this, I didn't even remember learning about the Safeway like that.
But it felt more like that kind of tournament, just not necessarily because he wasn't a good player, but because he's almost 50 years old. And this is a tournament that a lot of really good players win. And for him to lap the field essentially this week, it's pretty awesome.
We talked last week about the, the field was surprisingly stronger than what we were expecting. And guys like DJ was there. DJ had a real solid Sunday round, shot 66. I think his first
changed
three rounds.
Changed his putter this week or this weekend or something crazy.
Yeah, like, something like working a lot of stuff right now, obviously, but it seems like he put together a bit of a, he figured some stuff out, shots. I think it was 66 on Sunday, maybe even 65, but he was kind of had a couple rounds hovering around par, and a little bit of a disappointing week for him. But Morikawa had a pretty good week, pretty disappointing Sunday.
Man,
didn't make any moves yesterday.
Well, his issue is, and I was looking at a stat, I think going into the Saturday round, him and Stuart Sink's numbers from strokes gained off the tee, approach, and all that, all those data points were identical. But the only stat that mattered was putting.
Yeah.
I think Sink was gaining almost 2.7 to 3 strokes putting, and Morikawa was losing strokes. And
that's
just
like per round, like 2 or 3 strokes per round. That's huge.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
But he was gaining almost 3 strokes around too. That just kind of tells you how dialed in Sink was.
It's just, it shows what Sink was doing. Some weird, he has a weird putting techniques, and like he does this like weird kind of jerky thing with his short putts where he like kind of like fakes a backs, like it's weird. I don't really know how
like
to describe it.
Fake.
Yeah, it's like he's getting momentum or something. It's like a very strange, like he almost does a fake swing, like follow through, and then stops and then go like. Yeah, it's very strange. I'm not sure what that was about, but hell, it worked out, bro. You're gaining you're gaining 3 strokes around on your closest competitor through 3 rounds, so that's what's up. And then obviously Morikawa, a bit of a disappointing Sunday, didn't really make any moves, and unfortunately he was probably the only guy that could have really made that tournament interesting. All Sink really had to do, I think Sink shot what, 71 under yesterday.
Yeah, he's kept it moving.
Was hitting,
you're dialed in, man. You're dialed in.
He was, yeah. And they, I remember after his I caught his interview after his Friday round where he shot his second 63 in a row. And he didn't really have much else to say. It was like, the shot is, I know what I want to do, and I did it, and I made a lot of putts, and it wasn't really crazy. Like, I was just playing, hitting the shots where I want to hit them, and I made putts. Like, and it's great how golf is such a complex game, but when you've got it going like he did, specifically Thursday and Friday, you can't even talk about it in complex ways. It's just like, I had this yardage. I wanted to hit this shot. I did it. And then I made a putt. It was like, that's it. That's, and they did it a lot.
Must be nice.
I know. If only it was that easy for the rest of us. But
yeah.
Yeah. Big week for Colin. I mean, sorry, for Stu. Not much else. Is there anything else that really stood out to you? Nothing really was really eye opening. No. It was just a, you know, solid tournament. Looked like it was beautiful.
Everybody was scoring, like you said before, the field. I don't know what the scoring average was compared to years past, but I would imagine it's up. So there was a lot of dudes in double digits, but I mean,
nice little, I don't know, follow up to the Masters. It's you get a jacket for this win too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You get the Scottish looking thing
between the two, like, let's just talk from a strictly fashion standpoint, does the green jacket really match anything? I mean, it's hard to make like the plaid.
I don't know where you're going with fashion sense, but
I don't really know. I don't think many dudes really look good in the green jacket. I'm just like, it's just the green jacket looks good because of what it represents, but
I don't know many people that look good in that.
The coolest thing I remember seeing and about this tournament was like the Wednesday before it starts, I guess it's tradition for the previous year winner to go out onto the 18th hole and like hit a shot into the marsh. But then at the same time, they have two guys with like an old, you know, Victorian era cannon that blast the cannon ball out to the end of the marsh at the same time. So they had the video of Webb doing that earlier this week, and he like almost fell over because of the noise and stuff. So that was kind of funny, but so that's cool. Yeah. Nice little tournament to kind of bring us in from the Masters. We'll get into the Zurich Classic here in a second. They're in New Orleans this week, then the tournament this week. Couple of headlines though. So Lydia Ko, man, how about this chick? She won for the first time in 3 years, but I remember I watched her, I think it was it must have been the week before the Masters. I can't remember, but whatever PGA tournament had finished. And then, right after, there was an LPGA finish of the Inspiration, I think, and she was in the midst of shooting like 61 on Sunday to make that a tournament. And then, so it didn't surprise me at all when I saw her, when she shoot 28 under over the course of four rounds and won by seven shots, man. How about that though? That's
talk about lapping the field. Like, we thought Stuart Sink was doing something, but
man, it looks like she's here to stay. She is playing amazing right now. She's only 23, youngest world number one ever, both male or female. Yeah.
At one point.
Well, she was, when she was 17. But she's been on tour for like 7 years and she's 23. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. She won her first
resume before the age that she could drink is
like, yeah, rattle that off for me. Just hit
youngest world number one ever. Won her first pro tournament at 14, 12 wins before the age of 19, and 2 as an amateur.
Jesus.
Like, what the hell? how do you do that? But yeah, I mean, she's got, I think Stevie's on the bag too. Like, she's got all
really?
That talent.
Oh yeah, Steve's from New Zealand. Okay.
I want to say, and maybe not in this tournament, but at one point he was like,
that's awesome.
All this talent here with all that know-how and just caddy intuition, I guess you'd say, with Stevie. But yeah, she just, man, that was impressive.
Yeah, man, I have no idea that Steve, that's pretty cool. I've heard much from Stevie lately. He was with
it
Adam
might not
Scott
be now, but like that was a name that was on her bag at one point.
He was with Adam Scott for a while, right? After Tiger. Yeah.
Adam Scott. And I think he flirted around with one more person,
man,
but
he got Tiger in his prime. And then I think Adam Scott won like a major or two while he was caddying for him. So, I think so imagine like at one point Adam Scott was like, and Tiger were kind of like, I remember Adam Scott literally, like his swing and everything developed in light of Tiger. Like he was trying to mimic when he was coming growing up, like everything Tiger was doing.
That's the Butch swing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, yeah, just that the Stevie, and now Stevie's like every once in a while with Lydia Ko, who is maybe well on her way to becoming the greatest women's golfer. Maybe Stevie's really the secret here. Yeah. You know, like anybody Stevie touches, it's that's awesome though. So congrats to her. I it's gonna be interesting to see if she can keep up this level of play, and signs point to that not ending anytime soon. So all right, well, let's move on to the Zurich Classic at TPC Louisiana this week. Par 72, 7,425 yards. This is a different kind of a tournament. Did you see any notes on when this format started? It hasn't been long.
I think
long.
It was 2017, I think.
So it's been like, what are we in our fourth or fifth year of the... Yeah,
COVID took it away last year, but...
Yeah. The only tournament of the year, well, besides like Ryder Cup and stuff, but yeah. The only tournament of the year that pairs up guys to be on teams, which is pretty cool. So last year, Ryan Palmer and John Rahm won, which that's a pretty interesting like pairing. Like, I guess they're homies, but like, would you have expected Rahm and Palmer? Maybe they live near each other. Well, like,
I was wondering like how the pairings happen, because I know some like Kisner and Scott Brown make sense because they're buddies, but like, I don't know if you like sign up and then you get paired with somebody or.
Yeah, a lot. I'm not sure.
Cam Champ and Tony Finau sounds like, yeah. It's like, okay, two Nike guys. Like,
yeah.
Kinda, they fit,
two tan Nike guys. It's going to look the best out there.
Yeah, but still, like, I don't know. But Ryan Palmer, and this is like a different version of Ryan Palmer now, too. I would think they're one of the favorites because John Rahm's, he's number two in the world, and Palmer's playing the best golf he's played.
Yeah.
Pretty much
I'm
ever,
just curious. So. My theory is they're neighbors. Like, that, they live, makes sense.
They both
like,
wear Jays. Maybe that part
doesn't,
of it.
Doesn't Rahm live in Texas? I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I have no idea.
I thought I remember when his wife was about to have a baby that they were like, she's safe in Texas, or I can't remember. That could be completely off, but that's my guess. Yeah, they probably live near each other. So, but yeah, so it's the first team event post COVID. Obviously, that would be a little weird to do during the middle of COVID. But so Thursday and Friday is four ball, and then Saturday and Sunday, which is best ball for people who don't know, but. Saturday and Sunday is alternate shot when that's when things get real. A lot of grudges can grow amongst guys, but both winners get 1.05 million, which is pretty nice. I don't think there's a cut this week. Both get an official win. That's interesting too. Like, you don't get like half of a win, you get a full win. You get the full FedEx Cup points, and then kind of like a normal tournament, get a 2-year exemption, then you get it. Both of them get invited to the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii next year. So
big time,
pretty important tournament. I mean, they've obviously, it's kind of a weird setup as far as, compared to a normal tournament, but they've obviously added the full incentives that you would get at any other tournament. So that's pretty cool too. So hopefully have some strong fields coming I guess we can rattle off we can do rate the field next. I guess we can, let me just rattle off some of the guys that are there. Some of the pairings. So we got Morikawa, Matt Wolf, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, Tyrrell Hatton, Danny Willett, Sam Burns, Billy Horschel, Bubba Watson, Scotty Scheffler, Mark Leishman, Cameron Smith, Tony Finau, Cameron Champ,
Cam Champ,
Victor Hovland. I don't know who this guy is. Christopher Ventura. That's a lot of that's like Norwegian mixed with Latin America, and it's really confusing. And then Sungjae Im, Ben Ahn, and then Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, the old South African connection. So not the strongest fields, but still some dudes are here. So I don't know. Last week I went 7.7. That's seems a little high, but there were some studs there. So if I went 7.7.
He's from Norway too. Anyway, he's born.
Yeah, I figured he was. Yeah. I bet
they're
he played.
Oklahoma. They're both Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember hearing about him. Yeah, he did hit a shot in some tournament recently, and they said another guy from Oklahoma State from Norway or whatever. Yeah. So 7.7 I went with last week for the Heritage. It can't be close to that. I'm going to go. There's still some top 10 guys there. So I guess right around a 7. I'm going to go 7.0.
Okay.
For this field.
That makes sense. And I get, I'm usually the critical one, and I must say a 7.2 just because I like the format. Maybe the format makes you get like a you put two players together, like you put Colin Morikawa and Matt Wolf together, you create a really, really good golfer. So
you're going to get to watch Morikawa and Wolf in the same group for the whole week. That's kind of cool. I see what you're saying.
It's pretty awesome. Like, yeah. They complement each other too. And that's where like a lot of these groups. Excuse me. A lot of these groups really do help each other in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Like just from a birdie standpoint, you want dudes that can kind of put you in really good positions. And like Bubba and Scotty Scheffler, that might be a match made in heaven for Scotty. Because Bubba can kind of just cut it loose.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the group the tandem I'm most looking forward to watching. And I think Morikawa Wolf is probably it.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
A lot of a lot of non-putting in that group, but
you have an absolute weapon in Wolf's driver, and then you have those irons. You might be putting, like, Wolf might have to only put a 3-footer or something every time, or Colin, vice versa. The group that's kind of interesting to me, and I know on paper we talked about how good they could be, is Finau and Champ, because they're pretty much the same player.
Yeah.
They're really good off the tee. They are good with their irons. I would say Finau has the up in that, but neither of these dudes can putt.
You could have a scramble group, a foursome of Morikawa, Wolf, Finau, and Champ, and you get two putts per hole, but they would all be within 10 feet.
Exactly.
And a couple of birdies on par fives from two putting from eagles a lot of putting needed to be figured out in that group, but I don't really know. It's hard to, like, I guess there's odds out, but it's hard to really make bets on the. We'll try to get some kind of betting picks something posted later this week, but it's a tough one to really judge. You never really know what's going to happen. It could be a complete random, I don't know, situation.
Because all of these guys are good. You're looking for birdies too. And I mean, somebody gets hot. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some really, really low numbers, and somebody could be on a 59 watch as a team in an alternate shot setting for sure.
We completely forgot to do Rate My Drip. So I was curious too about the hoodies. Like, how do you feel about hoodies in golf? Like, Morikawa was wearing one on one of the rounds.
I love it. I think it's you know, the beginning of golf, you had dudes wearing suits and like knickers and everything like that. And this is just the next evolution of it. And I mean, it works for me. As long as it looks good and looks respectable, like, you don't look like a bum out there. You didn't just roll out of bed. I think it's fine.
Yeah, you've got a note here that says comfort trumps all, and that's my whole thing. That's why, like, when I was growing up playing a lot, I was like, even if I had to put on a freaking rain jacket, I got perturbed because I was, you know, having to constrict my swing a bit. But these new hoodies, the one that Morikawa was wearing, I guess it's probably Adidas.
It's for sure.
Super light, but like, that was, I would definitely play wearing something like that.
Yeah. I would get rid of those hats though. Those are
horrible. Oh yeah. I don't know who designed the Sim 2 logo on those new hats, but it's one of the worst things. It's curious that those don't come out. Like, did you remember seeing those at the Masters from the guys that wear, they use the Sims? I don't remember seeing, like,
I've seen them in a couple of tournaments before we've watched. Cause I made, the
yeah,
comment,
but it seems like it changes. Like, it seems
probably
like they,
they're trash.
Yeah. That's why I was like, why did these come back? They already
probably cause they're trash. Like,
but then it was curious.
Somewhere somebody was trying to buy them, and they were like, they're not on sale because nobody wants to buy these damn things. Yeah. So,
I don't know what that logo is about, but like, it's interesting that they made a logo for a specific driver instead of just being like TaylorMade. Like, it's specifically the Sim 2 like logo. It's kind of a weird.
That is interesting.
That is,
you
yeah.
Don't see like a, you don't see a ping, you know,
G24, 25, like
or
the Titleist
Maverick.
So they, I guess they're like TaylorMade, but I mean, I'm all about that. Just make a better logo, bro. Like, or just have a picture of the driver head, like, as the logo, like, instead of like, it's weird.
But here's a question though, with the comfort, like, at what point are they going to start letting these guys wear shorts out there? Because I knew that was kind of a debate.
I just don't want that to happen. I'm against
shorts.
That's
where you draw the line.
Sure. Yeah, sure. From a everyday player standpoint, that's a crazy thing to say, but I think of them looking, they look like professionals when they're wearing pants. Like, I think of shorts golf being like something that you just do in leisure time. Yeah. Like, it's just, I wouldn't be pissed. I wouldn't be like, I'm not going to watch golf anymore. It's not like that or anything, but it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. It just irks you. These pants are like super nice these days.
Yeah,
so
I was
not
say,
really
these,
like
these aren't cotton like slacks with pleats in them anymore.
Like they've got these things to where they wick the freaking sweat away so quickly that these dudes don't even have ass sweat and shit. Like it's just they look normal. So yeah, you can't have given too much sympathy. But back in the day, you know, dudes were playing in 100 degrees and wearing like not breathable. Nothing was breathable, and like, so they probably had it a little rough back in the day, but. But these days, these dudes are wearing like silk and stuff out there. So can't really tell me it's too much. But all right. We don't have too much left to talk about. So let's quickly recap the picks from last week. We're getting a little bit closer in the standing. So C, unfortunately, clown mode for you last week. And then Keish got his Colin Morikawa pick. Looked like it was capable of potentially hitting, but he had a rough Sunday, and then that didn't work out. I ended up picking up points for my Kuchar sleeper, and Cantlay ended up missing his second straight cut. That's an interesting one. So Cantlay missed the cut at the Masters, and then he missed the cut I think he missed it by a shot at this tournament. So it's a little interesting.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was like, there's something up with this guy because his numbers were going down, and maybe he's pressing, whatever it is. Yeah. He'll figure it out though. He's too damn good.
For sure. It's tough to get a gauge on him too, because he's so stoic and he doesn't show any emotion. So it's just
he's a machine.
So it leaves us standings wise. You are sitting at 135. I've got 125, and Keisha is rounding us out at 100. That's it though. Do you have anything else before we? Oh, what's next week? What tournament? I think it's a bigger one.
Afterwards, is it Quail Hollow?
It might be.
I think so. I think it is Quail Hollow. But
yeah, so hopefully we'll see some stronger fields here shortly. What is this, two straight weeks without, you know, the likes of, like, I don't know, JT, Bryson, Spieth. Like, Spieth played a lot. Many tournaments in a row. Ooh. So
the Valspar is next week, which is a big tournament.
Yeah that's where the Copperheads the course. They have the, I forgot what that stretch of holes is called, but
the snake pit.
Yep, cool. All right, well, we will be back next week getting us through the recap of the Zurich. I almost forgot what the tournament was. The Zurich this week. I promise I'm going to actually watch some of this tournament, because I'm actually, I think the team play is really fun. So we'll be recapping all of that, as well as getting you ready for next week's tournament. But until then, be sure to like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. Big Stick of Golf Official on all the social handles. Rate, follow the podcast. We really appreciate everybody listening in. That's it for us though. Until next week, don't forget to whip out the big stick.
Thank you for listening to the Big Stick Golf Podcast.
I mean, the crowd was unbelievable. We should see the best players in the world.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
I wish we could play in front of crowds like this, you know, every single week.
Until next time, take care.
Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion of 1960. He has birdied.